Matthew chapter 15. We might choose a verse as our text for this morning, and it is the verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And then we read at the beginning of the next verse. But he answered her, not a word. As I've already indicated, I want to look at what Matthew has to say about the Syrophoenician woman. The woman, as we have just read here, who had a daughter who was grievously vexed by a devil. We learned from Mark last Sabbath morning some things regarding this mother and her seeking Christ. The Lord Jesus had gone into some house in the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And he went there and he hid himself. But then we read in Mark that he could not be hid. The reason for that being that this mother sought the Lord. And she sought him until she found him. And then she brought the need of her daughter before the Savior. We noted her determination. Yes, the Lord had hid himself in some particular home, a home where he was most certainly welcome. But then he could not be hid because this dear mother had such a burden for her daughter that she must find the Lord and bring before him the need of her daughter. So we noted her determination. And we noted also, with regard to her burden, that it was her daughter who burdened her. The devil had got a hold of her daughter and was endeavoring to destroy her life. And there was no one who could help. The mother couldn't do anything with her daughter. There was only one person who could help, and that person was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she must find him, and find him she did. And it was the need of her daughter that brought her to Christ. And so often it is our own personal needs that brings us to Christ. It may be some serious illness. Someone diagnosed with cancer. And the prognosis is not good. And there's only one person to turn to in such times of trouble, and that is to the Lord. Or maybe someone's business fails. And they're bankrupt. And the bills to pay. And there's no one can help. And it is that tragedy in their business that brings them to Christ. It was this woman's daughter that brought her to Christ, because she had no answer to the need of her daughter. She couldn't do anything for her, and she couldn't do anything to help her. And so she went with this burden to the Lord. We noted also her disadvantage. Because when she sought out the Lord, she did so as a Gentile. She was a woman of Canaan, a Syrophoenician woman. And she, being a Gentile, went and sought the Lord. It was the son of David. The Lord Lord Jesus had come into the world primarily for the benefit of the Jewish people. John 1 and verse 12 tells us he came unto his own Jewish people. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. And when the Lord Jesus went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, he went there as the Messiah, the Savior of men who had been spoken about by the prophets of the Old Testament. But here was a Gentile woman coming to the Lord Jesus, who was recognized by some Jews as the promised Messiah. So we see that she was at a disadvantage. She being a Gentile, the Lord Jesus being a Jew. But that did not hinder her. Her burden was so great that she had to seek the Lord. And seek him she did. That's where we ended our story last Lord's Day morning. Now today I want to look at this mother again. Last week we looked at the mother seeking Christ. Today I want to look at this mother and the silence of Christ. For we are told that she cried unto him in verse 22, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. There's the silence of Christ. You think of it. After all that this mother had done, after all of her searching and all of her seeking, this woman of Canaan finally came face to face with the Lord Jesus. She had come to the Lord as a mother with a burden. And upon meeting the Lord, the first thing we're told that she did was she cried unto him. There we have a mother's plea. She cried unto him. It wouldn't have been the first time, I'm sure, that this mother cried. Here on this occasion, she was crying out in public. The disciples heard her cry. And anyone else who may have been there. And she cried out in public over her daughter. But I have no doubt that this mother often cried in private. I have no doubt that this mother often cried and shed hot, bitter tears over her daughter in the secret place. And she wouldn't be the first. She wouldn't be the first mother to cry. She'll hardly be the last mother to weep in the secret place over a child whom the devil has got a hold of. For many a mother has cried over her daughter, and many a father has cried over his son, whom the devil has sought to destroy his life, and sought to drag the soul of that son or that daughter down into a lost eternity. Mentioned to you before about a dear mother in my church in Northern Ireland who had an only son who wasn't saved. He was prayed for at all of our prayer meetings. Everybody who met there to pray prayed for Colin. And any time I went to visit his dear mother, I had only to mention Colin's name, and that mother began to weep. I had only to mention her son's name. Such was her burden for the salvation of her son, that just mentioning his name brought tears to her eyes. I would have no doubt that in many ways it was like this with this mother. And it was like this with a certain father as well in Luke chapter 9. In verse 37 I read these words. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, and behold, a man of the company cried out. He was a man who wasn't ashamed to cry, because he had every reason to cry. He had a burden that was as heavy as the mother. For this man, we are told, cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. You can see why the father was burdened. The devil was trying to destroy his only child, trying to destroy his only son. And he cried out to the Lord to help him. An only son, which hath a dumb spirit, an only daughter grievously vexed with the devil. No wonder this mother, no wonder this father cried out to the Lord. For what right-thinking parent wouldn't cry out to the Lord under such circumstances? And what sad, heartbreaking stories the Lord, during his earthly ministry, must have listened to. Here we have an example, just two, a father and a mother. One seeking the Lord on behalf of his son, the other seeking the Lord on behalf of her daughter. And I'm sure those stories were multiplied over and over and over again as parents came and sought the Lord on behalf of their children. Do you know the best part of it is that the Lord is ready to listen, and he's ready to help. When mothers and fathers cry to the Lord for their children, the Lord's ready to listen. We read that in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll hold you up. He'll strengthen you. And dear mother and father, today, your burden in the past has been so heavy. Your burden for your children has been so heavy that at times you find it difficult to pray, and at times you've hardly known how to pray, and at times you've been so weak to pray. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's what David the psalmist has said. And listen to what Peter the apostle said. In 1 Peter 5 verse 7, Peter said, casting all your care upon him. But that's not at all. That's not all that he said. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. He cares about the mother who's burdened and heartbroken about her daughter. He cares about the father who weeps and cries at night over his son. He cares. Others may not care too much about the burdens that you carry. But the Lord cares. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press, and the cares distress, and the day grows weary and long. The hymn writer asks that question. But then he answers it in the chorus. For he says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary. And the long nights dreary. I know. My Savior cares. Praise his name. As well as this mother's plea, I notice something else here. I see this mother's pain. Look there at the words in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. You notice how she prayed? She had gone to the Lord on the behalf of her daughter. But she begins her prayer by saying, have mercy on me. She didn't cry out immediately, have mercy on my daughter. She said, have mercy on me. That speaks to me of the pain that this mother was suffering. She was pained in her own heart over the plight and the state of her daughter. We read that her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And I venture to say that while her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, the mother was grievously vexed also. Not by the devil, but grievously vexed her own heart when she saw what the devil was doing to her daughter. And that's why she cried, have mercy on me. For Lord, I feel the pain. I'm experiencing the pain of seeing my daughter so grievously vexed by the devil. And all of us here this morning who are parents, know full well that when and if any of our children are laid low and they're suffering pain, we would rather suffer the pain for them. We would gladly change places with them because it pains us to see our children suffer. And it, I have no doubt that it pained this mother to see her daughter suffer at the hands of the evil one. Again, that father, we read about in Mark 9. In verse 21, the father has come to the Lord and told the Lord all about what was happening to his son. And the Lord asked his father, verse 21 of Mark 9, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, listen, have compassion on us. Have compassion on us and help us. Help my son, and Lord, help me. For as my son is suffering, Lord, I'm suffering too. Seeing how the devil has taken my son and some days cast him into the fire, another days cast him into the water, and this has been going on since he was a child. Lord, help us. For Lord, if you help my son, it'll be a great help to me. And Lord, if you relieve my son of this suffering, you will relieve me of my suffering also. And indeed, when that son did find relief by the healing power of Christ, the father found relief as well. Solomon was aware of the pain suffered by parents of children whose lives are influenced by the devil. The pain parents suffer over children who are not saved. This is what Solomon said. He said, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And there are many today, many sons and many daughters, and they behave foolishly. And they never once think about how their foolish behavior is affecting their mother and their father. They never once think about the pain that mum and dad suffer because of a foolish son or a foolish daughter. The word heaviness there, fool is the heaviness of his mother. That word heaviness there means sorrow. A foolish son is the sorrow of his mother. And notice the definite article is there. A foolish son is the sorrow, is the heaviness. In other words, here is a sorrow that is above all other sorrows. This is a heartbreak. this town and this city and this province and this country. In many, many homes today throughout Canada, there sits heartbroken mothers and heartbroken fathers because of the foolish behavior of their children. Where can we go? As the Syrophoenician woman did, we must go to the Lord. That leads us to consider this mother's prayer. She has met the Lord and has cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Notice first of all this mother's speech. She's praying. She's praying to the Lord and she's saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David." Something very special about her speech there and what she said. For it is most commendable in the way that this mother addressed the Savior. It is commendable. For here she, a Gentile, acknowledges the Savior as Lord and as the Son of David. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging as the Lord came from Jericho. And Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord and used the same terminology. "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." But the difference there is that Bartimaeus was a Jew. This woman was a Gentile, as already pointed out. But here, nevertheless, while it was quite unusual for a Gentile to acknowledge Christ as the Messiah, that's what she was doing here. Addressing him as Lord and as the Son of David. Now here she is, she's coming to the Savior. And she's asking the Lord on behalf of her daughter. She's interceding on behalf of her daughter. The daughter is grievously vexed with an evil spirit. And as she gets before the Lord, she cries out, "Lord." My son of David. You see, she acknowledged him as Lord. And if he is Lord, that means he is Lord of all. And this reminds us of the words of Paul, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." He that cometh to God must believe that he is God. And that he is the rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. What is the point in seeking the face of God about a certain matter, about a particular burden or a particular problem, if we don't believe that God is able to solve that problem and lift that burden? Paul says we must believe that he is, that indeed he is God. And he can do whatever we ask of him according to his will. And whenever this mother came before the Lord, she said, "Lord." In other words, she was acknowledging that no matter how severe or desperate the plight of her daughter, she believed that Christ could deliver her. Why? Because he's Lord. He is Lord over every devil. He's Lord over every demon. He's Lord over every dominion. He's Lord over every darkness. He's Lord over every defiling spirit. He's Lord of all. And when we call him Lord, we call him by his name. That's how we are to pray. And this dear mother obviously believed that the Lord, being who he is, being Lord, could then deliver her daughter. That's how we are to pray. It may not be a son, it may not be a daughter, it may be a friend, a relative, a husband, a wife, a brother, sister. We need to believe that God is able to deliver them, save them, make them one of his own. See, this mother's speech, but then you have the master's silence. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. Not a word. There's the master's silence. Was this not disappointing for this mother? Was it not hard for this mother to accept? For she has done everything right up until this point. She went seeking Christ. And she searched for him until she found him. She would not give up. And she cried out to him, Lord, thou son of David. She did everything right. But he answered her not a word. There's the silence of Christ. How many mothers and how many fathers have experienced the same silence? For years you have prayed. For years you have cried. For years you have sought him, and the response has been the same. He has answered not a word. Your son is still away from God. Your daughter is still rebellious. And all the while, the Lord has answered not a word. He's been silent. There must be a reason. And dear Christian, there must be a reason. When as parents we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and at the end of it, the heaven is silent. It's as if heaven is shut up against us. There's always a reason. But the Lord is the one who is sovereign and he doeth all things well. I want to give you something that I trust will comfort you. In John chapter 7 and in verse 5, we read about the Lord's earthly family. He had earthly brothers and sisters. And in John 7 and verse 5, it says this, for neither did his brethren believe in him. The Lord's own brothers and sisters, according to the flesh, did not believe in him. Now, they could not have had a better example in the home than to have Christ there. The one who was holy and harmless and undefiled. And yet, in spite of that holy example, in spite of the Son of God being in their home, still his brethren believed not in him. And you say today, but preacher, I have done everything right as far as I has lain within me. I've sought to do right. Still, my children do not believe in the Lord Jesus. What's going on? You look at the Lord's family. Neither did his brethren believe in him. What did the Lord do? We know from John 17, the Lord's high priestly prayer, that he would pray, and he said that he prayed for all who would believe in him. And so we gather from that that the Lord Jesus prayed for his brethren. Because when you get to Acts 1 and verse 14, you have there 120 disciples, and they're met in the upper room for prayer. And numbered with the disciples, what do we find? We find the Lord's brethren. The Lord's prayers were answered. His brethren had got saved. His brethren had received him. When they saw their earthly brother hanging on yonder tree in Calvary. That's when they believed. And the Lord's prayers were answered. The Lord's prayers are always answered. And we find then in Acts 1 and verse 14, there they were attending a prayer meeting. They'd been saved. So, dear parent, today, what do we do? Now, the members of our family are still outside of Christ, even though we've prayed and prayed and prayed. What do we do then? We do what the Savior did. We pray on. We pray on. The Lord Jesus prayed on. He did not give up praying for his earthly brethren. He prayed on until they were saved. You have then this mother's speech. You have the master's silence. But then I notice here the merciless servants. It's hard to believe that these disciples said what they said. Verse 23, and he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. For she crieth after us. Disciples made a number of mistakes there. First of all, she was not crying after them. The disciples said, send her away, she crieth after us. I beg your pardon. Though she was not crying after Peter or James or John or Andrew or any of the other disciples, she was crying after Christ. And when she cried to the Lord, and the Lord answered her not a word, those disciples completely misunderstood the silence of Christ. And so they besought the Lord. That word is usually used when someone really beseeches the Lord in prayer. And yet we find that disciples besought the Lord to send a woman away. They didn't beseech the Lord to help her. They didn't beseech the Lord to strengthen her. They besought the Lord to send her away. Completely misunderstood the silence of Christ. They exhorted the Lord to give up on her. That's really what they were saying. Lord, give up on this woman's daughter. There are other matters to attend to. Lord, send her away. She's not worth bothering about. That's what they meant. Couldn't have meant anything else if they said, send her away. Don't bother with her. Don't bother with her son. And I'm sure that there are mothers today, and by so-called good-meaning friends, they have been told, don't bother with that rebellious son of yours. Don't bother with that rebellious daughter of yours. She's not worth bothering about. The way she's treated you, the way he has treated you, don't waste your prayers on them. Sons and daughters who live for the world, serve the devil, are into drink and into drugs and debauchery, and they've broken the heart of their mothers, and friends come along and say, don't bother with them, they're not worth it. That's what the disciples were saying. But thankfully, oh, thankfully, the Lord to whom this mother came has never, never given up on anyone. Any soul who has come to Christ, he hasn't given up on them. And he never will. They may not have been any sign of mercy on the part of the disciples. They didn't show any mercy at all. They were merciless. Send her away. Sure, they did the same thing whenever the multitude gathered around the Lord. And the Lord said to the disciples, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And the same response, it was the same response. The disciples said, send them away. That was their answer. It wasn't much of an answer, and they weren't offering any help. Just send them away. The Lord didn't send them away. The Lord said to the disciples, make them sit down in rows of 50. And the lad was there with his loaves and his fishes. Wasn't much, was it? Wasn't much. A lad held all that he had in his two hands. But then we know that little is much when God is in it. And the Lord took the loaves and the fishes out of the hands of the lad. What little he had to offer, he gave it to Christ. And Christ took it and used it to feed 5,000 men and women and children. And then took up 12 baskets full of fragments. He not only filled the people, he filled the baskets as well. He didn't send them away hungry, as the disciples proposed to do. Send them away. He didn't send away this mother heartbroken and empty. No. The disciples would have sent them away. And you know the Lord Jesus, as we've already said, will not send anybody away who comes to him. Because he's merciful. He's loving and he's kind. And dear mother and father, while others may say to you, oh, give up on that son of yours. Give up on that daughter of yours. They're not worth it. Don't listen to them. No matter how rebellious that son is or how rebellious that daughter is, they have a soul that needs to be saved. And you just go on praying. And go on praying. And go on crying. Out to God. And he will answer. Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. We have much more to say about this mother. And we'll leave that until next Sabbath day. The Lord willing. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O Lord, we seek thy face, just as that mother sought thy face. Lord, thou didst not turn a deaf ear to her, but Lord, thou didst answer her prayer. O gracious God, we look to thee to answer our prayers. That on that great day, that every member of her family, Lord, will be there. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? O Lord, I pray that it will be unbroken. That all will be gathered in under the blood. And we'll all be in heaven one day. Lord, for the wayward and the rebellious, and those, Lord, that are sold out to the world, and the devil, that's wreaking havoc with their lives. O God, have us as thy believers to pray on. To pray on and not give up.